Welcome to From the Rooftop Music Podcast, a production of Rooftop Music Rehearsal and Recording Studio, located in beautiful downtown Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Today, we have as guest Danny Perez, who is 30, has been in Chattanooga since 1997. He is not in a band, but he does play with the Chattanooga Symphony Opera Chorus, mainly violin, bass guitar, and vihuela. I've never heard of that instrument, but I'm interested to hear you talk about it. And Danny is single. And so, Danny, thank you for being here. I really appreciate it.
Glad to have me on there.
Cool. So tell me a little bit about your day job. As you know, this podcast is going to be talking about the balance and the adjustment between your day job and juggling all the things you do during the day, and then Turning that off and turning on the music thing at night and on weekends or wherever you have time to do that.
Mm-hmm. So I'm the opposite. I work night shift from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. at Mars Wrigley factory here in Chattanooga. And so how I got the job is it was COVID 2021, and I was just bummed out, you know, not going anywhere. Everything was, you know, slowly opening back up, and I miss my hometown. So I moved. I was setting up at Austin Peay, and so I just decided to come back to Chattanooga and sing with the Chattanooga Symphony Chorus again. As time went on, slowly, I moved in with my sister, and her next door neighbor had worked with them for a couple of months, and he said, "Well, why don't you just work with them or start at the temp agency, SMX? They do most of the hard labor. They do the packing and the stacking off, and Mars is where, you know, you get to operate the big machines." So within a year's time, I slowly got up to working with the company, and I'm a bagger operator, so I can handle all five machines. That took several years to get accustomed to, and I just got off this morning and waiting to do this podcast.
Cool. Well, we appreciate you joining us. Do you have to work tonight?
No, thank goodness. Awesome. It's a rotating schedule, so yeah. I would work. Say, for example, if I did have to work today, I would have to work Friday night, Saturday night, Sunday night into Monday morning, have Monday, Tuesday off, go in Wednesday night, Thursday night, and then have the weekend off. So this is my weekend off.
So tell me about your day when you go from Mars to your opera work with the Chattanooga Symphony.
Right. When we are in season, usually we do like a fall concert and then Christmas time and then spring. Let me go into last year's. So last year we did Messiah at First or Second Presbyterian downtown. I unfortunately didn't get to join in because I went to Japan for a much needed vacation. So I had known all the music, but in the schedule sense, they would rehearse every Monday night. I would go in every other Monday night. But luckily, I knew most of the music, so it wasn't as hard for me as other people. So I could carry my section. I'm a tenor, so I can carry my section with no problem. But as my director would say, my director is Darren Hazaport, who directs the opera chorus. And wonderful guy, really great guy. And his teaching skills are just above and beyond of what I've seen in a director. He's very passionate about the music, and he will just let me try to explain this. He would show his passion in the music in us. So when we go out to sing, it's all us and him. So I'm trying to go back with this. I led away from the question.
Yeah, so let me ask it again. I'm gonna get
Yeah,
something here real quick.
yeah,
I'm gonna ask you about a typical day where you work 7 a.m. to 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. and then transition from that into music, right? So start that over again in
okay, I got it.
3, 2, 1. So, Danny, tell me about a typical day where you work from 7 p.m. to 7 a.m. And then put Mars away in its little compartment and go into your music activities for the day. Tell me a little bit about that.
When we are in season at the Chattanooga Symphony chorus, we're usually with the Chattanooga Symphony, but they usually meet on Monday nights at Second Presbyterian downtown, which is led by Darren Hazafort, which he is an amazing teacher. And so they would do a fall concert and a Christmas concert and a spring concert. And you can choose whichever you want to do. So I chose to opt out of Messiah since I knew all the music and did all of it several years ago. They do it every year. So people who have done it can opt out or they can opt in and do it every year. And then we have a Christmas concert, which is called Home for the Holidays. And that is just individual music. And everyone rehearses together. I usually rehearse every other Monday. So I would have the music with me, and I would rehearse the music in my head or listen to some audio recording. But when we get together, it's the director's notes, not the audio's notes. And then in the springtime is our big performance. So that's what it usually entails my schedule to be. It's every other Monday.
Okay, so you get off work at 7 in the morning and it's a Monday and you've got a rehearsal with the symphony. And what time do you have to be there to do that?
I have to be there around, well, downbeat is at 7. That's what we call it. Downbeat start is at 7. And so downbeat is at 7, and we go for 2 hours. So 7 to 9 is
So
usually our
7 a.m.
rehearsal.
to
No,
9 a.m.
7 p.m.
7 p.m.
7 p.m.
Okay, so you do have some time. From some downtime from when you get off at Mars to go do the symphony work.
Yes.
And tell me a little bit about what you were taking when you were at Austin Peay. Was it music related?
Yes, it was music related. I went for a music education degree, and I learned a lot. It's just COVID got to me, and being isolated, I wanted to be in the classroom, being with the teachers, but we all got on Zoom, so I was really distracted and depressed. And that's when I picked up guitar, bass guitar too. I had taken all my instruments with me, so I had my violin, my guitar. I started to learn guitar, so from bass guitar, because the first four strings are E, G, E, A, D, and G, and then add two more strings, and guitar is just in another world. So yeah, that's what I was studying at Austin Peay was music education.
Cool. And did you play music in that's in Clarksville, is that right? Is that where Austin
Yes,
is it?
I played with several small groups in the music department. I was in the choir, I was in like small ensembles. I kind of did a little gigging around there. It was not a big scene. It was not a big scene, but now it's slowly graduating towards like a mid type music scene, but it wasn't a whole lot. And there weren't a whole lot of people that were playing my kind of music, which is heavy rock, southern rock, rock and roll. That type of stuff.
Very cool. Do you still play bass and 6-string guitar?
Yes, I do. I often collaborate with the Chattanooga Boys Choir here,
Awesome.
under dir the direction of Vic Oakes, also a great guy. He would call me up if there's ever an instrument that needed an accompaniment, and I am an alumni of of the Chattanooga Boys Choir. So I would go in and say, yeah, if I had the time, and I'll have to work around in my schedule and practice straight when I come home from work in the morning, either 30 minutes or an hour to learn the music, get it down, and then go to sleep. Rinse and repeat. And it's usually he gives it to me 2 weeks or a week in advance.
Very cool.
I am a
So,
very quick learner.
tell me a little bit about the Chattanooga Boys Choir. Is that the name of it?
Yes.
Tell me a little bit about that and how you got involved with that.
Okay. They usually start around the third grade in an elementary school. And there's an audition process. And I can remember the time when I auditioned back in 2003, which was I was in the third grade then. And the audition piece was My Country, 'Tis of Thee. And so they were looking for singers to join the boys choir. And I went and auditioned and I got in. And so I got in and then I did boys choir up to middle school, which is where the voice changes. And Vic, the director, he's very good at helping boys to get kind of accustomed to that voice change and not strain it so much, because some boys will stay in that higher register and some boys will just drop down to bass. And he's very good at helping those boys get comfortable. And then around there, it goes into middle school and then high school. And then after that, you're on your own. But with that organization, I can remember doing the Christmas shows. We had the singing Christmas tree at the Tivoli before it closed down. And I have so many memories and pictures of being in that big production. But it's still a lot of fun to do. Even though it's moved to another location now due to COVID, and the Tivoli being renovated, and it's a brotherhood. It's a brotherhood of boys getting together, learning the music, and loving the art of music. And they all start with camp in the summer to work on new music, and then after school they would do extracurricular activities, and then they would rehearse every week to get that music down. And sometimes it would be memorized. The older guys would sometimes have the music, but it's all memorized.
So, Danny, it sounds like music has been part of your life since you were very young and still is part of your life. So, did you have somebody in your family, a parent or an older brother, somebody, legacy to you and your family that got you into this?
I know my uncles were in a band. They live in Atlanta, but they never got past the band stage. They were in a band stage, or they were in a band, but they never got like an album out or anything. But they love to play instruments from time to time. So I think I got some inspiration from them. And also, like when I went to Center for Creative Arts, the school on Dallas Road, that's when I really fell in love with music, classical music, because I was playing violin and I had learned some of these pieces from Mozart, Beethoven. And then as soon as I did Center for Creative Arts, I joined the Chattanooga Youth Symphony for several years. I did that, and that was just an eye-opener. It was so much fun. I got my certificate from there. And from then on, I just kind of continued loving music, any kind of genre. It doesn't matter. I'm
Right.
a open open person about music.
So Danny, there wasn't a whole lot of your brothers, sisters, uncles, parents, grandparents that were into music. How did you come across your love for music and wanting to dive in at full force with a music education?
Well, as soon as I left elementary school, I went to art school that was focused on the arts. It's called Center for Creative Arts on Dallas Road. I'm sure most of the city knows about it. It's a really, really nice school. It's just focuses on the arts, not really relying on sports or anything like that. Because I was really bad at sports, but most more focused on the arts. And when I fell in love with music is when I joined the orchestra, the school orchestra, and learning how to play violin from scratch. I didn't learn how to read music from boys choir, so really my love of music was playing songs from Beethoven, Mozart, Vaughan Williams, and other known composers. And one day my teacher, she showed us the Amadeus film, and it was really, really good. And
Yeah, that's great.
she had told us that all the music was Mozart, and I'm like, this is amazing. And I listened to the whole soundtrack movie, a movie soundtrack, and just fell in love, and also fell in love with Beethoven. His symphonies are great too, as well. So my top two composers are Beethoven and Mozart. So,
And
and also,
what age did you start learning a violin?
I started learning violin at around 12 or 11 years old. It was just straight out of elementary school into middle school, starting in sixth grade, I think, at around that time.
And from our conversations, I've gathered that you're a little bit of a rocker. You like AC/DC. You like
I do.
how did you go from Mozart and Beethoven into the headbanging rock and roll stuff, which I happen to love, by the way.
From that point on, at around the house, we listened to just Spanish music. You listen to mariachi, cumbia, a lot of other well-known popular Spanish music. But when I eased into the English side, AC/DC was my first one. I was like, oh, this is really good. And so, surprisingly enough, my sister actually said, hey, you might like this. And she played Thunderstruck. I'm like, I do like this. This is really good. Who is this? This is AC/DC. And I'm like, oh, that's awesome. And then I went to go pick up their live album from Donington and just listen to the entire thing. That's a great performance, by the way.
Okay.
AC/DC.
So your sphere of music was this classical stuff, or any other flavors in there, or did you just go straight from that to AC/DC?
I think it was that from to that to straight to AC/DC. And then I discovered Metallica, Pink Floyd, Rush, Black Sabbath, all these other well-known bands, because I had a friend in a short non-major class. I took art, and we would goof around, and we would say, oh, did you listen to this? Did you listen to this? This, and this. Oh, no. And so we would take the CDs home. Old format CDs, and we would take it and listen to them. So that's where my expansion of music
That's awesome.
really.
If you think about the spectrum of rock and roll music and a couple of the artists you just mentioned, Pink Floyd and Rush, those are prog rock kind of in a symphonic rock vein. So it might be natural for you to go from Beethoven and Mozart to these progressive rock bands that have a lot of intricate things going, different layers of things going on in rock music that are almost classical like in the production of it.
And an interesting fact, I think Bill Ward from Black Sabbath said that he was playing either bass or bass instrument in the symphony, and they were playing Mars from Gustav Holst's The Planets, and they were playing, and he thought that melodic line da 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 or something like that, but he twisted it to make it sound more sinister, and they brought it, and that's how heavy metal, Black Sabbath was well known for, but they had created that type of dark sound, and I like that it came from a symphony music, so
Very cool. So Danny, let me ask you about the intersection of your job and your love for music. And you do have a career at Mars, and that's your day night job. But you also have a career with the Chattanooga Symphony, and do you separate those, or do you coexist? Does one support the other? How do you juggle the two? They both, I'm sure, take up a lot of time.
They do, and I just keep them usually separated. Within my work schedule, I really, really try to work around it. If a concert lies within a work weekend or a work week, I would have to call off and say, "Hey, I need these days off," or I would request these days off weeks in advance. And we have the calendar for the performance days, and so I'll look at it, look at my work schedule, and say, "Okay, I either it lies on an off day, or I have to request off." So that's usually very, very separate. And so when I juggle those two, especially when I, work, I usually work the days leading up to it, and then having either 3 or 4 days off, or the rehearsals, and one day work, and then the performance. The coordinator is very, very flexible with me on that, so I'm
So
glad
the
she works with
coordinator
me.
at Chattanooga Symphony, you're speaking.
Yes,
And how
yes.
about your regular employer at Mars? Are they pretty flexible with your music schedule and accommodating?
Yes, they are. And if we're shorthanded on people, they can pull other operators from another shift that are willing to come in and help, or they can adjust to, whatever the needs are. And it's usually really more, "Oh, you need off, that's fine. We'll work around it." So.
Good. One of the you're my third interview. One of the recurring themes in this podcast series is people wanting to go into music full bore and make that their career, but they just can't do it. There's not a lot of money in it. There's not the job security of having insurance and life insurance and medical insurance and healthcare. Do you anticipate a future where you could get out of working the third shift and diving into music full bore and making that your lifetime and your career? And how would you do that?
That is a good question. That is very challenging. I researched into it too as well, because I'm sure mariachi band is what I'm leaning towards, to being in a mariachi band, gathering all the people, and not having that security of a 401k or health insurance or vision life, stuff like that. Rather Mars, it's all included. And so hopefully, like, I can still juggle between the two, but not go part-time, maybe, hopefully, and have some security. But rather than going full-time and juggling work and being in a band, it does conflict. And it is a bit of a struggle, and I know, because I've seen some musicians try to, "Oh, I'm rising up," but it's kind of hard juggling a tour. I also listened to another podcast. It's kind of like a comedy podcast, but one of the guys around my age, he started a band in South Carolina, and he's starting to tour, and he goes on his podcast and says, "Yeah, it's a bit of a struggle. We try to sell our merch, get a van that works, and load up all our gear and stuff like that." It is a struggle,
It's a
but for
struggling. Go ahead. I'm sorry.
no, it's okay. It is a struggle, but with like the mariachi band, you keep it more local instead of going all around and touring different states, but then again, like I said, the health insurance stuff, and the benefits of not having stuff like that,
Yeah, I
I
think
would not.
it's quite a conundrum. The last podcast I did, the guy's a physician, and he had a degree in music, and then just couldn't really
step off the cliff and make a living for him and his family in music. And that's really what this podcast is about. It to a degree, it's juggling a work life and a music life where the ability to make a living playing music is diminished. Even if you're an accomplished songwriter and producer of your own music, it's still very difficult. And it's almost like music is dying as a career. You know, it seems like music is becoming a hobby for everyone, other than the people that want to tour and sell merch in the back of the venues that they play in, and they're probably not making a whole lot of money doing that either. So, do you have any thoughts or fears about doing something like that if you were to get out and try to make music a career?
Yeah, pretty much not succeeding because only like very few like top 10% actually make it to a level where, oh, I'm playing festivals, or I'm playing arenas, I'm playing or I'm headlining an opener. And so, they get that little push of support and get their music out there, out more exposed. But for me, I just like to have fun with it, not make it so much of a career, and have it, that level of stress. I can't handle that level of stress because even when I manage it at work where you're trying to operate five lines and you gotta know all five machines, and something messes up on one machine, you're gonna have to learn how to fix it or have call maintenance. They're your support. They're that push that, okay, well, yeah, I can fix it, or they're more qualified to fix it.
You got help, and in music, jumping off that cliff, it's just you. So let me ask you about what's going on with the Chattanooga Symphony upcoming. We're about to get into the fall season, and I know there's probably some things coming up for the fall and the winter and the holidays. Tell me a little bit about that.
So we just announced our new season, and we're going to be doing Messiah again, three shows in December. And they're really, really great to go see. It's usually at Second Presbyterian downtown, and tickets sell out fast. So if you want to get in early, you get in early. And then Home for the Holidays is the December concert, usually held at Memorial. And then next year we're doing Verdi's Requiem, which is I've heard one of the movements, and it's just really, really good, really interesting.
Very nice.
And so we're doing that, and then I'm also doing Scenic City Community Orchestra, and
Very
we're
nice.
doing we're doing Sounds of America, I think that was the title. We're doing John Williams, and we're doing Aaron Copland, more Americanized, more American composers or more American theme music. So that's in November too as well.
Very nice. Where would somebody find that information on the web?
For the Chattanooga stuff, it'd be Chattanooga Symphony. It would be chattanoogasymphony.org, or you
Okay.
can go on their Facebook page. They're always active on Facebook too, on the
Okay.
social medias. And Scenic City, I think you'll have to email them. They're not very big. They're only second season. So
Okay.
I'm glad to be a part of the Scenic City Orchestra.
Very nice. You sound like you're busy holding down your third shift job and these two organizations that you're doing music with. So I have a recording rehearsal space and recording studio, and I'm in two bands, and it's pretty straightforward. We get together and we have a set list and we practice, and everyone has their instrument. I suppose it's a little different with Chattanooga Symphony and the other group you're working with. Tell me about your preparation and the rehearsals that you do, and how many people might be involved in those performances.
Of course. With the Chattanooga Symphony, we usually get the music on day one, or if we can get to the office and get it a day, a couple days before, that'd be also great. But we'll have the music with us. For example, the Messiah is one book. It's a book. It's not like individual pages. You can find many different versions online or in a bookstore. I happen to have a couple copies myself. Different versions of the work because it's been edited so many times, so hundreds of years. but we only go for one standard copy. And then with the Christmas stuff, it's all loose, individual pages
Okay.
of individual music.
And
And I'm
what is your position in there? What is your chair, I guess it might be called?
yeah, my section is I'm a tenor. Tenor
Okay.
one, which is up there.
Okay. How many people might get together and rehearse and then do a subsequent performance?
Usually it's not a whole lot of people that come together, but when we perform, we usually collaborate with a university choir or some other group. Choral Arts also is another choir group in Chattanooga, led by Darren Hazelvoort. So he'll either pull that choir in and make more people. But I guess for this Verdi's Requiem, we're going to need a lot of people. So we're going to have us, we're going to have Choral Arts, we're going to have, I guess, UTC or Southern Adventist University Choir or some other choir to make a hundredfold on a stage.
Okay. And then that 100 is never really together until performance day, right? You guys are just off separately doing your own parts, and everything is standardized and structured. And then you just get together on performance day, and boom, there you are.
It is.
Yeah. So tell me a little bit about how that works, and maybe the first time you did that, was there some anxiety not playing with these other people that now you're just going to have to show up and everybody has to play together?
I can remember a couple of times where nobody has shown. Well, in the work setting, actually, I can relate to that at work. But with the choir stuff, it's really no. I can lead my own section, and if anybody needs help, getting notes from the director or I understand it, I will lend them the notes. I'm gonna be like, hey, you go like this, but you're doing like this.
Right.
Right. Different with work. If I have a partner or if I'm having somebody come in and they don't show up, then it's on me. So
That's
yeah,
right.
that's definitely a relation there.
Tell me about you sing, you play guitar. What are some of the instruments you play, and how often do you get to play them, doing all of this work with local symphonic groups and then working third shift at Mars?
I mainly play violin. As I'm rejoining an orchestra just because I miss the orchestra scene, and getting to play with other people of various talents, and various skills. And so violin's the major one. Guitar, mainly I would go out and either help out with the boys choir or bass guitar. And help out with them with the bass section or something. Vihuela, not so much because of the mariachi
Right.
thing, but I do practice it. And other instruments, not so much. It's just a hobby, like ukulele. I just play it for fun.
How much time do you
But
have to play every day, given your work schedule and your symphonic schedule?
I usually, after work, I'll just go home. Eat and then go pick it up and play it for either 30 minutes or an hour.
Good. You got involved with local orchestras and choral groups at a very young age. Who was the person in your life that got you into that? Or was that you getting yourself into that?
No, I remember in the third grade, I was approached by the ESL teacher, Miss Marisol. Marisol Jimenez, and she had came up to me to say, "You might like this since you really like music." And there was I think a class in the third grade where we go in and do music for 30 minutes. And I remember, I think I have a book. We have our music book, and we would listen to a piece, write the piece down, and what we felt about it. And she said that I was so engaged in that class that she thought the boys choir would be a perfect fit for me. And so she had sent my information to the boys choir and they were interested. And of course they were intrigued. And I went to go on audition to sing. I think the piece was My Country, Tis of Thee.
Okay.
And that was the audition song and the audition process. I didn't know how to read music. And they were like, that's okay, we'll help you. And so I got in. And from there on, from the third grade to the fifth grade, I was doing the boys choir. And then from fifth grade to high school, I was doing violin with CCA and like other stuff on the side, acting, minor stuff. And then I rejoined the boys choir for a year after, or on my senior year. And then I went to do one more year at the Youth Symphony.
Okay.
And then I got my certificate there.
Very nice.
So for it, without her, I wouldn't be here.
So the Chattanooga Boys Choir, if someone watching this wanted to get their child into it, how would they do that?
They would have to go to the Chattanooga Boys Choir website, cbc.org, I believe, or cbcchoir.org. And the director, Vincent Oakes, he's a great guy. And I dedicate so much of my life. He's also an inspiration to me. He's a great guy. When he started, I started too as well. So we're on the same track. We didn't know anybody else. He's a great director, and he helps the boys, with the voice change, and he helps them too. But getting back to the topic, how to get involved? Parents would have to go contact the boys choir, and bring their boys in for the audition process. And it was very different from when I was a boy. They would listen to them, and then they would make their decision a couple of weeks later, because the push towards more boys doing music is very, very slim, because we're just coming back from pandemic, and people are being pushed to do more outside things. But I would usually go and speak as an alumni myself, to encourage these boys, hey, if you do this, you'll have a great skill that you can enhance and hone, rather, just singing, or you can just stick to singing, or you can play guitar, bass, and you'll have that knowledge up here with the music theory that they teach you, and it is a great, great tool to have. So,
Yeah, that's a good segue into my next question is what do you think your life would be like now without getting involved in music at such a young age? And then what kind of difference can music make to a young person, 8, 9, 10 years old?
right. What really helped me was when I was struggling, I'm emotionally and having those sad depression moments. Just listening to music or discovering new music, it really helped me. And juggling that with work, is this there's stress and then there's relaxation, that various comparison between the two is very different, but music is just, it sticks with you. And that level of comfort of the music that you discover or listen to, it really helps. To a kid that's growing up, there's a ton more music now than there was 10 years ago. If you discover something that you like, go with it. And if it's something different out of your comfort zone, then either go for it, or say, eh, it's not for me. I don't really listen to that much, or I gave it a chance,
Yeah. But in terms of the path you would take at such a young age going into music, could you see that helping other young children to stay focused on something, maybe to help them stay out of trouble, maybe some type
Yes.
of guiding tool for them in their young lives? I love that you talked about it being used as a coping mechanism at an older age. I'm sure it could be a coping mechanism at a younger age too for younger kids that are, they have stress too. What are
Right.
your thoughts there?
With classical music, it definitely helped a lot. I would listen to Beethoven's Sixth Symphony, the Pastoral Symphony, and it's just it opens with a nice, calm melody, and that's just exactly what you need. Nice and calm, nice and warm. You don't want, rough, unless that's what you want. It's something punchy or something heavy, which that leads towards a heavy band or something like that. But with when I was studying for either like a test or something big coming up and I'm nervous about it, I would play the Shawshank Redemption soundtrack. That's also a really good soundtrack that helped me with my life at school. I would play the entire album, and I would say to myself, "You're not done until you finish the soundtrack, or unless you get it." So,
Very cool.
yeah, very good.
What has music done for you in your lifetime, and how are you different now from having music versus how your life might have been from not having music?
I can't imagine a world without music. But music has helped me with a lot, from boys choir to the youth symphony. It's just it's a ladder. It's a staircase. You start out in one, you join another, and you go on another, and then it just leads on. But I don't think I've ever fell there's been some low points, but not that low, the low, but I would always persevere, and I would push myself, say, okay, you're complete, you're gonna get this done, or you're not gonna be nothing at all. My sis I have siblings. My older sister would be proud of me, and she's like, oh, that's great. And then my sister, she's always supportive and saying, yay, and I'm glad you're doing this, and hopefully my niece, who is 1 year old, and hopefully she'll look up to you as a role model, and I'm looking forward to that.
That's great.
So hopefully, and yeah.
All these things that music brings to your life, I hope people watch this podcast and understand that, even if they're just casual music lovers or music casual listeners, this is the beauty of music, and hopefully this podcast helps get the word out.
Yeah, and I was watching Shawshank Redemption the other day, and that scene where Andy Dufresne pulls the Marriage of Figaro record and plays it over the loudspeaker,
Locks the door and
and
puts the loudspeaker on.
the loudspeaker on, and when everyone listens to that, is this they're awestruck, and I want that for people who. To discover music like that, and they want to be awestruck. And I want to end with the quote from the movie, saying, from when Andy Dufresne comes out from the hole, he says, "And that's the beauty of music. They can't take that away from you." And
Sure.
that's how I feel
Very
with
cool.
music. They can't take that away from me. So.
It's something very dear and personal to you that it's a relationship like so.
It is. And also, I think Rush quotes it too. It's like in the second part of the 2112. It's like,
Right. I was just
what is
listening
this
to
gonna
that.
Yeah. And he brings it up to the priest, and they're like, no, we don't want this, we don't need this. But he's like, can you imagine the possibilities of what music can bring? And you're like, no, we don't have time for this foolishness, but a person who discovered it, sees it. So.
And I hope funding for early and elementary school and middle school education continues to support music, because it's such a great thing that helps develop this other side of your brain
Yes.
from the analytical, and I think that's important too for young people. So hopefully.
Very, very.
Well, Danny, thank you so much. I appreciate you joining me today. I love your insights. I love your love for music. I love your stability and ability to just pursue your dream. I'm anxious to see your mariachi band. I can tell you that I started playing guitar in 1977. Yes, I'm old. But the Kickstarter for my music journey was Carlos Santana. And my family has Spanish roots. My mother was from near Guadalajara in Mexico. That was her roots. And all
Nice.
my family are Hispanic on her side. And Santana was my first love. So maybe when you get your mariachi band, I'll throw a Santana cover band together and we'll go do some Latino shows. I'd love to
Heck
do it.
yeah. Heck yeah. I would love that.
All right, Danny, thank you so much. We appreciate it. This has been live from the Rooftop Music Rehearsal and Recording Studio. And we'll see you soon.
Thank you.
From the Rooftop Music Podcast is brought to you by Rooftop Music Rehearsal and Recording Studio, Chattanooga, Tennessee. For more information, please visit rooftop-music.com.